The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
It's time for The Bookshelf. With us is Keith Barry, mentalist, performer of some renown, Hollywood consultant, and now podcast host.
Yes, yeah. Ooh. Delighted to say I have a new podcast out. It's been going great.
On Go Loud, Open Mind is the title?
Yeah, it's called Open Mind. So it's me exploring different topics with interesting people with an open mind. Because as you probably are a bit yourself, I'm a bit of a skeptic. So I have to put my skepticism aside and, yeah, just attack different issues, ideas, concepts with an open mind. So I've had psychics on, Ghostbusters on.
Agaway.
I've had all kinds
of. Agaway.
Yeah, it's been very interesting. It's very, I have to tell you, it's kind of opened my mind a little bit, Anton. You don't
believe that. No, it hasn't. You're sitting there going, I know exactly all these tricks and could do them myself, but I now have to sit here and pretend I don't know what I'm talking
about. But interesting, Natasha Bracken, who was the psychic who came on, the agreement was that she wouldn't have to do a reading on me. So I agree with that. And she was great fun, and we had a really interesting conversation about psychic. Did it change my actual concept on psychics, and do I believe, you know, that we can contact the other world? The answer to that is no, but
interesting nonetheless.
But it was a great conversation to have, especially she was the only psychic who's ever actually agreed to come and have a conversation with me. So for that, I was very grateful to her, you know. And then Ghostbusters would go into your house and they test with all kinds of equipment to see if you've got ghosts in your house. So fun podcast, but then some serious conversations happen as well. A Dermot Ling, who was the ex-hurler, and he brings men to sweat lodges to sweat out their demons, all that kind of stuff. So very interesting, you know.
We do need to talk books. So yeah, we're going to get from you the nomination that you're going to put on the bookshelf. Before that, give us some honourable mentions. Give us a couple of the books that have been significant in your life that you recommend to other people.
Yeah, so I'm actually a bookworm. So I have a huge library. Like, I mean, giant. And I don't really listen to audiobooks. I prefer the old-fashioned, just hard copy. So I think the one that really kind of changed my mindset, and I read all kinds of styles of different books, except mine would always be in the non-fiction territory.
Did you ever read fiction? Were you ever a fan of novels?
No. Only when I had to. So I remember Lord of the Rings in school. Maybe that was the last one. So an honourable mention would be The Choice by Edith Eger. Edith Eger is an amazing character, and she was in the concentration camps, and ultimately the genesis of the book is, even in those dark days when she was in the concentration camps, even in those like moments when other people just gave up, she realized you always have a choice in how to control your mindset. You always have a choice on how to, I suppose, push through those difficult situations that people find themselves in. So I found that really resonated with me for some reason. And even now, when we all have detrimental moments in our lives, I kind of go back to that book in my head and I go, okay, I still have a choice on how to.
I assume it's an old one, because if she was an adult in the concentration camps, it must have been written, I assume, then. 70s.
No, sorry, she was a child in concentration. She's still alive. She's not up on Instagram. I believe she's still going. Like, you know, very late 90s now. But the last time I looked, she was still alive and on Instagram. Obviously, it's not her operating the page, but she's still there. So, no, she wrote it as an adult, reflecting upon how she survived the concentration camps when other people didn't. And, you know, I still reread it, and I still, you know, escape the concentration camp of your own mind was a line that I remember. And we all have that concentration camp. And of course, different detrimental moments come our ways at different times.
Is there stuff in it that you can learn if you're not living in extremis? If you're not in those...
Yeah, for sure. Like, I wasn't an extremist, and I don't consider... I mean, look, I do extreme things, extreme stunts and stuff sometimes. But what I like about... So a lot of people reference Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl, which I've also read. I just, for some reason, I prefer a simpler read. I found his work just quite a difficult read. So I prefer, when I'm reading a book, within the first 10 pages, I've got to be able to really understand the concept of the book. And if it's too heavy or if it's too eloquently written, I'll put it down. Do you know what I mean? Because I just can't grasp the concept sometimes. So no, it's not for extremists. It's not. I think it's just for the ordinary person out there, you know?
Do you tend to read, is it philosophy that you lean towards? Is it self-help?
Yeah.
Is it psychology?
Yeah, so the mixture of all three of those. And then the dark arts. And it's weird. You know, when I was thinking about what books we talk about here today, there's a whole lot of books that I can't talk about simply because they're kind of top secret books. That's where I learn my secrets, my trade, my craft. But I suppose one that I wasn't even going to talk about this, but randomly, there's some fascinating books by a guy called Tony Doc Shields. So he was known as Doc. He only passed away a couple of years ago. Now, he was one of my mentors. So he wrote a number of different books, and he was a mountebank, a charlatan, a hoaxer, a trickster, a mentalist. He single-handedly is responsible really for the Loch Ness Monster, because he took the most famous photograph that was ever taken of the Loch Ness Monster. And
Of what?
The Loch Ness Monster.
Of really?
Yeah.
The actual.
He took the photograph, and I did mention he's a hoaxer and a trickster, right? So, but he also single-handedly invented the Owlman, and there's a book called The Owlman. So the Owlman is a famous myth that existed in Cornwall, and he explains in The Owlman how he created that myth. So he admits in that one that he created the myth. To his dying day, he never admits that the Loch Ness Monster was a hoax. But the Owlman, he described how he created it. And back in the day when there was no lights on the roads, he would literally go out with his mates and he'd create like this emblem, this outline of an owl mixed with a man, and he'd hang it with like really thin rope from a tree, and he'd wait for hours for somebody to come along on their bicycle, and then he'd drop this down and pull it back up. But it created up until this day a myth called the Owl Man. But he had a really amazing book. This is one where I don't want to give away some of my secrets. It was called How to Create a Psychic Superstar. And in that book, he outlines from birth, so if you have a child, how you can teach, share the knowledge of, I suppose, a mentalist, a hypnotist, a magician, somebody like me or somebody like him back in the day, into creating somebody that looks like a psychic, and how to create that psychic superstar. And there's a few kids out there in today's world who've got their own Netflix specials, I might add, where I look at them and go, I wonder did their parents read that book? Let's just leave it there, shall we?
Well, I'm intrigued by you saying that there are a number of books that you cannot mention from which you learned your trade, because I was always curious about that with you, because you predated, given your generation, you predated YouTube, you predated...
Internet.
Yeah,
wasn't
so
there.
You're not searching the dark web finding this stuff. So I assume this meant that early in your life, you found a couple of seminal books that set you down a path. Even if you won't tell us what they are, how do you find them? Because I assume you don't go into your local library and say, mentalism, lads, what have you got?
Well, here's the mad thing. Like, so I'll give you a few examples of books. So originally it was just magic that I was into. So the first book on magic I got, which you can still get, I think it's secondhand, but nonetheless you can still get it. I don't think it's in reprint, was the Klutz Book of Magic, K-L-U-T-Z. And that's a magic book. So I got that on a school tour in Scotland. So that really spurred me on, because there's tricks in that that would still to this day fool any adult. So they weren't like the little tricks you'd find in a magic set, right? They were proper tricks. And I started to go out and perform those tricks straight away. And then the evolution from that was me going, okay, where am I going to get more of these books? I went down to the local library in Waterford, and you won't believe, there was actually some really advanced magic books in the local library back in the day. So I'm talking about when I was 15, I'd leave school, go down to the local library, the Waterford Library, and I'd find the Discovery of Witchcraft, which is a very famous book. That was one of the original kind of books. Now, that was a reprinted book, but nonetheless, that was written like centuries ago. And ultimately, that kind of really ignited my imaginations, because some wacky, weird stuff in that particular book. But then I decided, well, the best way to learn from books is to reach out to people. So I would handwrite letters. I'd find the addresses of like people that I'd heard about. Because back in the day, like I didn't even have a telephone when I was a teenager. So I would handwrite a letter to somebody, not knowing would I get a response. So Eugene Berger is a good example. He's a magician in the States. I handwrote a letter to him asking about some concepts. I got his address, thinking I'd never get a response. But literally, 2 weeks later, I got a handwritten letter back with a book. And then in that book, it recommended other books. Then I found out about Tony Doc Shields, and I found out that he had some secret books that are really hard to get. Some of them were limited editions, but you'd pay a lot of money for some of these books now. Like I'm talking about £500 plus, and I didn't have that money at the time. But I would just, so with Doc, I have, I don't know, half a foot to a foot of handwritten letters of going back and forth between me and him. And then when I got older, I was able to afford some of his books. So I bought some of his books. So I've got all of his books. The Monstrum's Tale, that's again on kind of mythology. But then he's got a whole host of books that are more into black or bizarre magic. So that's basically magic tricks, but dressed up with a bizarre theme. So think Ouija boards and things like that, and making people believe that it's actually real, even when it's not.
Pentagons and candles, all that
kind
crack.
Of weird stuff. Yeah, I did a whole show on it. I did a whole theatre show.
And what were you
shows.
Corresponding on? Were you asking him advice? Was it technical stuff? Was it pen pallery?
Yeah, like it was pen pallery, but it was like, okay, I heard about this concept of this trick. I can't afford your book. Can you tell me about it? And he would. And he'd describe it out to me. Like, I was only at his funeral a couple of years ago. Like, I became very good friends with all his kids and his extended family and all the rest of it. Like, you know, like one of my mentors now is still going. He hasn't written a book yet. He needs to get his book written. Tony Sadar, he's out in Cabinteely, still working, 83 years of age, hypnotist, and probably the greatest hypnotist Ireland has ever seen. Still getting the results, as they say, you know.
These are all books, though, that led to your professional side.
Yeah.
What are the other ones then that have changed your view on the world or changed who you are on, as a person? I mean, I assume a lot of them you're not going to recommend to a friend because they're very profession related.
Yeah.
What are the ones you say, read that, it'll
change?
Yeah,
so the choice was one. But I suppose from a self-help perspective, because I do read a lot of self-help books, because obviously that's part of what I do as well. One that changed me was Change Your Paradigm, Change Your Life by Bob Proctor. So Bob Proctor is, I suppose, a self-help guru based out in the States, a motivational speaker. But that book, a paradigm is basically a set of beliefs or behaviors that we all have. And we all live by those behaviors and beliefs that we've garnered over time. And his whole concept is that you can change those based on how you think, how you act, how you behave, but more importantly, what you focus on. And his whole concept is, you know, our neurons in our brain, they're changing every moment of every day. We're creating these new neural pathways every day. And it's a form of manifestation, but in a scientific way. That's the basis of the way I would say it to you. So look, if we sit here and we dream about a Lamborghini landing outside News Talk, we both know that's not going to happen, even though TikTok will make you believe that's going to happen. You know, the new TikTok manifestation way, it's not that. But it is about how to change your brainwave state. And really what he talks about is changing your frequencies of your brain. And we're all in different frequencies and how we can change those frequencies to kind of get what we want out of life. I find that's really good to recommend to people. That coupled with, now, I know I was probably only allowed three, but
no.
That one with Get the Life You Want by Richard Bandler. Now, that one's really good if you want to change your behaviours and change your mindset.
Do they not contradict each other? Because surely they're all driving at similar end results, but using different methodologies.
Yeah, so I always go, whatever works for you. So in other words, people often say to me this, okay, I'll give you a very prime example of what you've just said. People will always say to me, if they come to me, for example, Keith, can you help me give up smoking? Yes. And then they'll say, but I've tried everything and I tried hypnosis before and it didn't work. Well, that's fine. Two things. First of all, you tried a hypnotist that didn't work for you. So it wasn't necessarily the hypnosis. But let's just imagine you've tried five hypnotists and maybe hypnosis isn't for you. Well, who's to say CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, might not work for you? Who's to say acupuncture might not work for you? So I always say try different techniques. So with Get the Life You Want by Richard Bandler, that is way more about self-hypnosis than the other one. The other one's change your frequency and brainwave state and what you're focusing on. Bandler's book is more based on NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, which is a cousin of hypnosis. Think of it like that. And ultimately, in that book, he details out how you need to change your subconscious mind in order to get over whatever it is you need to get over. And what was profound in that book is, this resonated with me to this very day. You know the way people say, I want to give up smoking, but they don't really want to give up smoking. It's just because everybody else wants them to give it up. He always says, with like anxiety, for example, you got to get to the stage that you're fed up of being anxious and then you're ready. Or you're fed up of smoking and then you're ready. Or you're fed up of being depressed or whatever it is, right? And I think he's right. And in that book, he details and he uses NLP swish patterns, all these different techniques. But I find those two books, if you want to actually help in a positive way, change your mindset, they're the two I'd recommend.
I'm going to get the one that you're putting on the bookshelf in a second. Are you reading anything currently as we speak?
Yeah.
And if so, what?
I'm not in full agreement with this particular book. It's a very hip book at the moment and it's out there and it's getting huge traction. I do like it. It's called Let Them by Mel Robbins. And the whole concept behind that is not allowing other people's thought processes to affect what you're doing. So in other words, if people are hating on Anton Savage at this moment in time or me, Keith Barry, which they've done in the past many times, right? And I've been like destroyed on Twitter. Like I nearly came off Twitter and I probably still will because of it. Like I trended in a bad way a couple of years ago on Twitter.
Nothing like seeing your own name trend.
Yeah. So I trended hard for a couple of days and it wasn't good. But ultimately she goes, just let them. And it's such a powerful concept. It's a simple concept. You know, if somebody's been negative about you, let them. You can't control them.
Easy to say.
Well, the thing is, she talks then about teenagers and her own kids and stuff. And she says, look, if the kids are going to go do something silly or foolish, let them. And I'm like, well, maybe not. Maybe don't let your kids do things they shouldn't be doing within certain rules and regulations. So, yeah, Let Them by Mel Robbins. I read it. I don't agree with all the concepts there, but there is something in it.
So that's the current one, Let Them by Mel Robbins. Some of the honourable mentions then, Get the Life You Want, Change Your Paradigm, Change Your Life, Discovery of Witchcraft, The Klutz Book of Magic, anything by Tony Doc Shields. What then is, if there's one work that you have read that needs to go on the hard shoulder bookshelf, what is it?
Oof. Persuasion by Robert Cialdini. So that's a curveball for you now. So some people will be aware of the works of Cialdini, many won't. So he's kind of the persuasion expert in the world. If you want to learn how to persuade people and morally and ethically manipulate people, Persuasion by Cialdini is where it's at. So he goes through, I think it's 7 different areas where you can persuade people to do whatever it is that you want them to do. But he's the real deal on that area. There's many who've come before him, many have come after him.
Because he's a research psychologist.
Yeah, and he knows what he's talking about. And he's also got another one called Persuasion. Not necessarily as good. I think it came after Persuasion. So I think he was just kind of cashing in on the success of Persuasion, if I'm being honest. I have both. Both are great. But Persuasion by Robert Cialdini, that'll be the one.
You're in good company. The other person who quotes that as his favourite book is Warren Buffett's co-founder of Berkshire Hathaway, Charlie Munger.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Charlie Munger gives Persuasion, or did before he died. He would give a copy of Persuasion to anybody that he liked and say, read that.
Well, I didn't know that. I mean, the other one is, like, you know, that's the one, right? But just, you know, What Everybody Is Saying by Joe Navarro, that's another one.
No, only one.
Okay,
only one.
Persuasion by Cialdini, done.
Keith, thank you so much. The one and only Keith Barry. And Keith is going to be performing only twice this year out in public. So it's going to be rare sightings. So you better get in quick if you want to see him. He's in Dingle on July 31st at The Wave.
The Wave Theatre, brand new Wave Theatre, yep.
And then you're August 13th.
August 13th, can't wait. First time going to ACL Community Festival. So you get those tickets up on eventbrite.ie.
And in the meantime, you can get them on Open Mind, and you just search anywhere you get your podcasts or look on Go Loud. Keith Barry, thank you so much.
Delhi, thanks so much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.